Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you see Daniel Levy?
Daniel Levy's...
He was interviewed at Cambridge because he went to Cambridge and they, what do you call them when they leave?
Alumni.
Alumni, yeah.
What? What's it? He went back.
And they asked him about Spurs. It's not bad. It's just.
Did you expect them not to? Did you think they weren't going to ask him about Spurs?
Well, they asked him a lot, but it was heavily edited. You could see the cuts.
Oh, really?
Nothing's going to change at Tottenham.
I see. He seems like a good guy.
I don't give a shit. I don't care whether he's a good guy.
I don't know.
Was Abramovich a good guy?
I'll send you a link.
No. Right? No. The answer is no.
Firm no.
Categorically. No. I would have taken 20 years of him. Even though he's done all the things that he's done, just give me the trophies. That's all that matters now.
Really?
Nah, not that far.
You'd definitely take it. If you know you're getting out in 20 years, take all the trophies and then leave.
Like, I might be dead in 20 years.
Yeah. Well, I think like that sometimes. I think like I'm running out of time here. Yeah. Too much coffee for the fav. What on earth? How long is this going on for? Yeah. I was so worried there. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to James and Flav. For now, we have to start there because I just thought Flav was having a coffee-induced heart attack. But I think he's okay.
I'm okay.
Oh, you're right. What was that? What on earth was that? The suspense.
I was just doing a little sort of chest stretch, and then I thought it'd be funny if I froze now, given the fact that I just talked about having a heart attack.
That was good, actually. I actually did think you froze there.
Yeah.
That'd be a good little prank halfway through the pod. Just don't say anything. Yes. Just for it. Yeah, that's good. Welcome back. Woo, season's hotting up, isn't it, Flav? Wowee. Done my top four predictions. That'll be out by now, Flav. Won't spoil it for you. You can go and watch that. See if Spurs made it. See if there'll be a little turn
Spurs
in form.
Spurs make it?
It's a little turn
Jesus
in form
there. Fucking Christ, I hate my football club sometimes.
Well, yeah, We're hot off the... So this is recorded Thursday morning. We're hot off the back of Queen's Park Rangers versus Norwich, which I was concerned about.
Oh, what was
about.
The score?
It was... You go find out. Oh, exciting times.
Okay, let's find out. So my fear... I can't tell by that response at all. You haven't given me nothing there. I think I'm going to say...
Go on, I guess. No one knows.
I would say one or...
I didn't.
It was just I don't know. There was something in your voice that told me 1-1.
1-1. Really good.
Mate, well done. That's a point. That is a point. That's a point.
Yeah, we were nearly in the relegation zone. By the way, stick around. We won't be talking about QPR for too long. We will be talking about all sorts. Flav has popped in a quick fire WhatsApp running order, and I've got some early hand grenades and a Jim Big Laugh award. I've got to be honest. It's not my best running order, but there is some good stories in there for sure. There's one really, a couple of really long calling it stories. So we'll see where we go here.
Let's stay at the start of the podcast. This isn't my best running order.
It's not my best running order, but it could be our best podcast. That's the important thing here. So what I'm saying is, that's code, Flav. Riff away. Riff away wherever you need to go. Because actually, so you said on the mailbag this week, and if you want to join us for our mailbags, you would have, if you were a patron, this week you would have had the delight of hearing Flav mix up someone with Jim Smith. I don't know who it was. I can't remember, but it was...
Jim White.
Jim White with Jim Smith. Yeah, we were talking about that.
All that, £4 a month.
Exactly. Give us your money. Give us your fork and money. It didn't say that, did it? Anyway, but so today is after QPR played, but in that mailbag, we also discussed the fact that next week, Flav, will be... the morning after, the night before, Arsenal versus Man City. Which, well, by Friday night could be, you know. Can I just say something?
Yeah.
I know you don't like it when I say this, but I just feel like it needs to be clear here. I'd really like to see Arsenal win the league. I'd really, really love it. Okay. I can't help but think they're going to not beat Southampton. Every bit of my gut is suggesting that they will absolutely beat
Southampton at home.
I've just got to
find it. It's at home, isn't it? I mean, that would make my week. Having played Southampton, defensively, no good, but going forward, they can cause problems.
Well, actually, sure. I mean, the truth is actually they haven't caused many problems for anyone really in terms of actual goals because they don't have the quality
Spurs. I was there. I watched it happen in my own fucking eyes.
Apart from Spurs. That was, moments. Do you know what I'm going to do on the ripple effect? I'm going to do sort of moments that define the season. And I think that game might sneak in there. What an explosion it was. What a, not an early hand grenade of sorts, you could say.
Yeah. I've been offered tickets since then.
Have you?
And I'm just like, no. Like they said, someone gave me, do you want to watch Spurs play Liverpool, Anfield? And I was like, no. I couldn't think of any. Driving up to Liverpool, then watching Spurs on a, whatever it is, Wednesday night, play Liverpool, and then drive all the way back home. So what this would be, it'd be getting in the car.
You know, that's what hundreds of thousands of football fans do every week.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. But not necessarily. Look, this for me, this is what it would be. Getting into a car, right? Driving, going to watch a football match completely sober, which shouldn't be done by anybody. Then sitting in the away end full of Spurs fans that are furious at the club. Watching us get tanked 4-0.
Mate.
Then driving all the way home. Like, and not only that, paying £250 for the privilege.
Yesterday there was a lot of fans missing at Loftus Road. And I sort of thought, fair enough.
She wasn't disappointed with it.
I went with my mate.
It's supposed to be a pastime. It's supposed to be entertaining. It's supposed to give you relief.
Yeah. But that's what's so crazy. I was like, I was there at the game and I turned to sort of the group that's sort of with me and I was like, what are we doing here? Why am I, we don't know why we're going. I went with a mate who's not, and I've been with him for a while and he sort of came around mine and then I drove and I was like, what are we, we're driving to a place we don't want to be. This is so weird. But then we bloody scored a goal. And mate, honestly, I've never had this feeling before. It was crazy, right? No one celebrated because we were in shock. Like we were in straight up shock. I don't think I've really felt shocked like that. Well, we were just like,
you were so surprised you scored.
We took the lead on the 12th minute and we've spent the last 5-6 games conceding goals in the first 10 minutes. And we honestly, all of us, instead of going, yeah, we were like,
yeah.
Shit. It was mad.
This is the thing is when, especially if you're driving, right, and you're going, you're just essentially going to watch a game of football. If things are bad, it's character building in the most extreme. You're being resilient. You know what you expect by going to Loftus Road. You know what's likely to happen. Norwich are a decent team this year, right? They're okay. So you know that you're walking into something that's inevitably going to end in disappointment.
Yeah.
But you do it anyway because that's what you do.
It's
your
ridiculous.
QPR. Tottenham.
Yeah. Well, you don't. You don't.
Fuck, I'm not an idiot.
Yeah. Nah, smart guy.
No, that's that. Look, I've been at Liverpool on a Wednesday night going up there to just. It's not for me. It's not. When I was a kid, I'd happily have done it. I'd have done backflips. But now I'm like, I'm not going to get much sleep. I've got to take the kids to school at 7 in the morning, get up at 7.
Yeah.
Nah, I said no.
No, is the answer there. Yeah, so we are now. So bizarrely, I thought that we were 1-0 up, right? We were 1-0 up in the game. And I then looked at, that was at 12 minutes, I think. And I remembered, I looked at the clock at 12:15. 17, 20, 22. I was like, this is fucking horrible. And then I started thinking about, because Ainsworth's been chatting a little bit too much. Sort of at the point where I appreciate the positivity, Gareth, but just give me some points. Just win the games now. Enough.
If what we'd have said at Ball Street, if you're saying too much?
Less. Yeah.
Or?
Shut your fucking mouth. Yeah.
Shut your fucking mouth.
Gareth, just a quick one. Could you shut your fucking mouth? Stop being so positive, because I just need points now. My dad, I saw my dad yesterday before the game. He can't go to the game. He's had a hip replacement. Free hips for new hips for Gary. Hip replacement. Yeah, and he was like, "Oh, did you watch Ainsworth's pre-match interview?" I was like, "No, I didn't click on that because I don't want to hear it. I just want the points." And then when we went 1-0 up, what I started to have this weird worry about was, what's he going to say? Because he goes too far. Like, we got a draw against West Brom and he goes, this is the turning point. This is it. Here we go. We're good as gold now. Us, don't worry about us because we're off and running after a draw. And then I looked this morning and he went, hit the title of it goes, the boys will get enough points to survive. Shut up, girl.
Do you think he's tempting the footballing gods? Is that what your problem is? What do you want him to be? Do you want him to be more realistic?
I love him. I love him so much, right? He comes around the end of the game and he's like, oh, this lovely, we've got a draw. And the performance was much better. It was much better. And I actually have a bit of hope now, which I didn't have. We've got 3 games left. We've got Burnley away, who I know that is probably, you know, we're not going to get in from that. Stoke away and then Bristol City at home. And it's tight. So I think if we can win 4 points, which, you know, when you've won 2 in 28, you would imagine that wouldn't happen. But get to the last game needing to win, I'll take that right now.
Jim.
Yes.
James.
Do you think it'll be all right?
Going down.
Yeah.
I don't want it, but you are.
Yeah. Yes.
It's okay, mate. It's okay. Jim, what about this? If the league...
What if we stay up there, Vlav? What are we going
to say? Oh,
mate, yeah. I had a moment in the second... about 10 minutes left, and I was like... I was sort of talking to the football gods, going, come on. You owe me. You owe me. I keep coming to this. Give me something.
Yeah. James, like, I've been doing it all season. I think Arsenal, I've convinced Arsenal they'll win the league. But in the back of my head, I'm like, what if?
Yeah, I know. It's not subtle, Flav. I think we can all spot that. when you've gone, no, it's done. They've won it. It's done. You know? But this is the problem. That's what I'm probably doing, isn't it? What I need to do is continue to lean into the fact that we're going down. I get it now. The negative Nellies out there, I get it, because what you're really doing is just reverse psychology, all of it, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's just, if you continue to force the narrative, what I'm essentially doing, I'll continue to force the narrative and the idea that Arsenal are going to win the league, normalize it, and then if they don't, then double down, capitalize.
Right, yeah, and you're safe, aren't you?
And then, yeah, I mean, I'm not safe. Look, if Arsenal win the league, it will be the worst thing, obviously. You can't stand something like that. And that's the point of football, right? But if they don't, it's like, is second even a... Wow. Was it worth even trying?
Well, that's it. This is what's so weird now, is that it's like, second. I'd rather finish 11th and just scream at Twitter going, get my manager out of, get him out of my club. Get him out of my club.
There's something
entitled nonsense. Do you know what? I'm so fed up with Twitter accounts not being able to say absolute, like, ridiculous stuff with their chest and have no accountability for it.
Yeah, that's the prerogative of a football fan, though, isn't it? Say whatever we want. Spend more money!
Yeah.
But I don't have a clue how to balance books. But just spend more money!
All the money. Win all the games. Buy all the good players.
Yeah, why can't you spend all the money, buy all the good players, win all the games? Yeah. I don't understand what's so difficult about that.
The only fans that can do that, Man City fans and Newcastle fans. They're the only fans that are allowed to do it. Because they know legitimately they have all the money. They can buy all the players and win all the games.
Do you know, once the takeover happens, it'll be Manchester United that the team that can only truly say that. The City are already in massive amounts of trouble. They could, you know, we don't know what the plight of City could be. They could be kicked out of the league, right?
Join us in League One. That'd be fun.
Fingers crossed. This is the thing. I don't think they should be allowed to do that because it's unfair on all the rest of the competition. So because of Man City's alleged misdoings, they could be eliminated to League One. And then, we're fucked then. Everyone else in League One's, well, that's us fucked.
Yeah,
Why are we being punished?
Fleetwood going, got a nice little squad together.
What are they doing here?
Yeah, that's not fair. You can't. No. Don't come in here. Keep going. Off you go.
Down to League Two. That's not fair.
Yeah, exactly. That is nonsense. What's a fair punishment though for these things?
But don't you think that is fundamentally someone is paying. Someone is going to be punished for Man City's misdoings. So if they get kicked out of the Premier League, not that that will happen, then it is unfair on an entire 23 clubs that are in that league.
Yeah, I mean, you get a great solid away day, don't you, I guess? But they've got to go in one league, haven't they? What do you want to do? Send them to the Romanian league.
I'd say conference. And then, because then, like, the amount of money that would bring in for those clubs would actually set them up quite nicely. So, yeah, conference is where they should go. Or disband the club in its entirety and make them start again from the bottom of the pyramid.
Do you have you've got an early hand grenade, haven't you? I've got a couple as well. For those who don't remember, early hand grenade, which obviously we're doing, 15 minutes in now, is just sort of an early debate just to get the juices flowing. Let me just shut my door, Flav, and you tell the people of the rumours that are going around.
Well, there's some rumours at the moment going around that Mikel Arteta is going to be targeted by Real Madrid. And I was just wondering, because obviously Ancelotti's, it seems like it's understood by everybody that Ancelotti's going to be leaving. And they're looking at prospective managers. And Arteta is apparently at the top of their list. Now, my question is should Arteta show Arsenal loyalty rather than take this opportunity to, you know, manage the biggest club in the world?
Tough, isn't it? Tough.
What would you do if he's given that opportunity? You don't turn down Real Madrid, right?
what's the... Hey, phenomenal little lean and nod there. Loved it.
Do that, do you?
sounds like a fucking A-level drama, like, or pantomime. You don't turn down Real Madrid, do you?
James, let me ask you a very simple question.
Yeah.
Are Real Madrid the most successful and biggest club in the world?
Sexy and successful. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Would it be a step up for Arteta in his career to manage Real Madrid?
Yes.
Would it show? I'm just, look, there may be subtext to all this. I'm just asking you very simple questions, right? And you'll give me simple answers.
Sorry. Freddie Molyneux, who we will hear from later in the podcast. Can you imagine Benzema and Vinicius Jr. being told about light bulbs holding hands? Sorry, that just made me laugh.
That is true. I mean, who knows?
Well, but I'll say, so coming to the loyalty element, if you were, let's make it, who's a good example? Ben White. Right, yeah. Ben White is at Arsenal for 4 years. I know he isn't currently, but he's been there. Say he's been there 4 years, and Real Madrid want him. Is he being unloyal by wanting to go to Real Madrid?
Of course not. He's just showing ambition.
It's simply
showing ambition. I don't think any Arsenal fan would begrudge Arteta going to Real Madrid and taking Saka with him. I don't think they would. They would understand this for the betterment. You can't prevent a player from leaving a football club just because you don't want him to go.
Well, okay. So should... what I would chuck in there is that Arsenal have been loyal to Arteta.
Yes.
Now, the fans... and look, calm take here. Get ready. Calm take... Arteta owes nothing to the fan base.
And why is that, Jim?
Because they wanted him gone. A lot of them wanted him gone. There were t-shirts made. Yeah. This is getting serious, guys. They've got to make some money out of this. Yeah, this is getting serious, guys. We need to do something here. T-shirts? Merch.
Yeah, merch. And what price point? Surely cheapest as possible to get as many out there. No. Whoa. £25.
25 quid. Is that true?
I don't know.
But yeah, I don't think. Yeah, he doesn't owe the fan base any loyalty. I know there's people screaming right now going, I was behind him. True. And I'm not having a go at you. I'm having a go at the other third of you.
You shouldn't be able to go at us for highlighting this. You shouldn't be able to... You go, James, how dare you say that? I didn't want him to go. Don't talk to us. It's your fan base.
Talk to your people, Don't get precious with me. It's just a calm take.
Yeah. It's just a calm take. Just shining a simple light on the situation. And the fact is that there were many fans that said he's not good enough. He doesn't. In fact, even after the second draw on Villa, naturally I went to search hashtag Arteta out just to see if there were any Arsenal fans that could possibly want him to leave while they currently sit top of the table.
And also, James, there was.
They were saying, how can you let two games? Two goals slip happen. We cannot stand for this. Get him out now. He's a rot. Cut the rot out.
I saw it. Did you see the thing I retweeted and just said, wow. It was like they haven't got a winning mentality. That's all they've been doing is winning.
That's all they've done all season.
Absolutely amazing. I'm just going to search on Google Trends. Oh, this is interesting. Arteta out. Hashtag Arteta out. Interesting. Over time, look, we had a real peak in there. I can't speak. There you go. Hang on, this might be interest over time. When is this? This is all 2023. I need to past day. That's miles off. Right. Where should we go? Past. 12 months, five years.
Let's see how long's he been there?
Okay.
Oh, that's quite a lot. That's pretty consistent considering you're top of the bloody league.
All of last season, the first season,
because I think they won the FA Cup.
When's this? When did he join?
It was like, must have been 2018, was it?
It must have been here, wasn't it? So it must have been 2019. Okay. So we've had
consistently
the heaviest of the peaks was that was it after that tough start, wasn't it?
Yeah, the three games.
Yeah, so
that was the beginning of last season, right? So since then,
when's
there's
this
been
then?
Almost
when's... what idiot's done this?
That was yesterday. That was the other day.
I wish it was easier to click on. Why is it so hard to click on? There we go. February just Okay, it's none yet. So it's there you go.
They were 5th of March, top of the league.
21 of you scumbags going hashtag Arteta out. Who are
that
you?
Isn't that 21 isn't the amount of people. It denotes something else, I think.
Okay. Well, it seems to keep bouncing up and down. Let's say that. June.
There's literally, there's been no point where a large bunch of Arsenal fans haven't wanted him out throughout his...
Sure, isn't that interesting? It's a really big spike in June to July of the summer when they were... Who is it they brought the... is this Google searches? Wow. The point's been made. Rob, shut up. Okay.
Yeah, Rob, what I want to do here, this is Rob, in Rob's head. So what I've seen is an error, and I'm going to point it just for the sake of being right. So yeah. James looks like and more of an idiot.
Yeah, don't need that.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, thanks for absolutely nothing there when I'm trying to.
You've given nothing by giving that information, Rob. Absolutely nothing. You fucking massive lanky. How tall is he?
Too tall.
Too tall, Robert Turner.
Yeah.
Robert Too Tall Turner.
So yeah, but to the Arsenal hierarchy, three cheers for them. I would say Jim just looked confused. That's all. Yeah,
that helps.
I was starting to lose my way, and so that's been a really good diversion. So cheers, Rob. what I would finish with is I don't think he well, who he should be more loyal to maybe is Barcelona. That was
well, this is it. Real Madrid and Barcelona. Yeah, that he's from the academy. Did he play for Barcelona as well? I think he did for a bit.
Yeah, he was definitely there. Yeah, I don't know how many games he got. But anyway, so yeah, it is an opportunity. It's a great career step. But he started something now at Arsenal.
Well, yeah, I mean, if he wins the league, he's probably more likely to go, right? Because then he's like, oh, I've done that now.
Well, it's like Kane, isn't it? You know, he's broke the record. It definitely is off, isn't he? Definitely.
I mean, you'd look at Spurs and go, well, why should I stay?
Like, I can't stay anymore.
It's like, if he's looking at the club, rudderless, no, you know, we've got a director of football who just could be banned throughout the entire world. We haven't got a manager. We've got a chairman who it kind of feels like, he thinks that we should be grateful for everything he's done. So if I was Harry Kane, I'd be looking around going, I'm not sure what's keeping me here. I don't think absolutely. This club is matching it.
He must leave.
If he stays.
He must leave. He must. He must. For the good of everyone. He must go.
The thing is it better? Is it? And this is the question he'll probably be asking himself. If he leaves, it, no matter what happens, it does sully his legacy. If he stays,
no, it
like
doesn't.
Totti's...
It doesn't. It doesn't.
Well, hang on. It's not you're not in any place to tell me that because as a Spurs fan, I can tell you what does and doesn't sully his reputation with us. As a QPR fan, you have no idea.
In your, I think you're off. Yeah, I think you're miles off. And I think you're just so saying it because
if he decides to leave for Manchester,
sully. What do you mean by sully?
It somewhat affects how great his legacy would have been should he have stayed. So, like Totti, for example, would be a legend. And in Totti's own words, this is worth more than any trophy I could have won elsewhere.
Definition of sully is to damage the purity or integrity of.
Yeah, there you go.
So fair enough. Good work.
That's what I'm talking about. So that's what I would say. And I'm thinking, well, look, I mean, the likelihood if he stays at Spurs is he won't win anything.
He won't. He won't.
If he accepts. He won't. He probably won't win anything there.
No, he won't stay.
Oh, right. But if he stays...
But he won't.
Well, Totti did.
Go on.
He could have gone anywhere in the world. Could have gone for any team, and he didn't. He stayed because he understood the sanctity of what he was doing. And that maybe Harry Kane says, do you know what? Having that legacy is better than winning something in a team sport or a team that's built to win things, i.e. Man City. Like, if he goes there, he's just a cogging machine. He's just another player. But if he stays at Tottenham, he'll be a one-club man. And maybe that would be enough to keep him.
I think the smart move is stay until the day after the Beyonce concert. Watch that, enjoy it, and then time to go.
Yeah.
He can't stay. I'll be so disappointed if he stays. It's not fair on him. It's not fair on him.
James, shut up.
He's been considered a loser, and he's not. It's not fair.
By who?
He's too good. He's too good to waste any more time.
It's like
Van Persie at Arsenal. He had to leave. Had to go. He had to move on. Enough's enough.
Yeah, but Van Persie, and it's a different situation. It's a different situation. Because he could go, he could be immortalized at Tottenham if he stays. And that, to me, just shows the integrity of the man if he does stay. If he leaves, he's just like any other footballer. Let me go after, well, where it is, where are they? Who's best? Oh, let me go there. Like, that's, you don't like that attitude.
I think he could do a press conference when he's leaving and go, I've just drafted up this statement. If I can just have a bit of your time here. Come on.
Look, if things...
the end. That's a statement. Come on.
Come on. look, the only thing I'd say now is that if he left, you'd understood. As a Spurs fan, you'd have to go, yeah, because look at the state of it. There's no leadership, and you're and the most important thing in the club, and the most forward thinking thing at the club is Harry Kane, and he goes, well, nothing I'm doing is being reflected elsewhere. So why should I stay?
I can't do this anymore.
He could stay. I can't do this anymore. Exactly.
Completely valid.
But anyway, we've moved away from the actual. I just wanted to get your quick. Should Arteta go to Real Madrid? Yes or no? The job is offered to him.
Well, I've got something that's Arteta based as well. So can we wrap this within it? Is that okay?
Yeah.
So I will give you your answer. Chris Cogdill with an early hand grenade here. Get your early hand grenades in for next week. Makes my life easier, please. And can you put early hand grenade? Because it makes it easier. Flav is right here regarding Arsenal and bottling it. The headlines won't be three in a row when City lift the title. So true this, isn't it? Won't be three in a row. That's amazing, isn't it? Three titles on the trot. Yeah. When City lift the title, it will be what happened, bottle jobs, and a bunch of opinion pieces about whether Arteta is the guy, which makes me wonder, is Arteta the guy? Is Arteta the guy?
I mean, yeah. I mean, yes. There's nothing... If Arsenal don't win the league this season, you take nothing away from Arteta or their players because they've produced some of the best football. I would argue that the football that City are playing right now is probably the best we've seen this season. But that's not to say that what Arsenal have done isn't as impressive with less resources. Although they did spend... Remember, you can't forget they spent an absolute fuck ton of money and recouped none of it. So it's going to be interesting what happens to Arsenal because they have... You know, you're allowed to spend 105 million over 3 years, in terms of speculation. Mm-hmm. And they've spent like 300 million in a couple of years. So they're going to have to balance the books somehow. Selling players might be an issue, but I guess with Champions League football, that helps. But it isn't, I don't think what you've seen previously from Arsenal, you will continue to see. It was like their ace card and it has paid off 100%. So to answer your question, is Arteta the guy? Yeah, look, they should do everything they can keep him there.
In terms of getting over the line, I was thinking about this the other day. Do you think there's something in the... like Arteta obviously is the guy. I think he's unbelievable and he's done so well. But between like now and getting over the line, do you think he's missing, and he's not? I don't think he's capable of this either, a bit of the sort of Ranieri dilly-ding, dilly-dong. Do you remember when Leicester... Basically, the PR move... or the comms move from Ranieri when Leicester won the league and when it was starting to get to right now, the like tense period of the season, he was just like, come on, like, I can't believe we're here. I can't believe we're doing this. What's the pressure? Let's just enjoy it. Like, God, imagine if we win it. I can't believe it. There's no, we shouldn't be winning it. And like, I feel like Arteta's such a winner. Yeah, I think Arteta's such a winner that will bizarrely weigh slightly heavy on that group.
Sometimes
it's quite
you
intense,
could argue,
isn't he?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but that probably, it's hard. It's an intangible. It's difficult to say, but that mentality has probably gotten to where they are now.
Absolutely.
And I'm not sure how much kidology works when you've got what Man City are now, because no matter what you do, if they continue in this form, they will. There's nothing that can stop them from winning the league. So, I guess either way, a manager's got to stick to their principles, and so be it. But there have been a couple of occasions where you think actually Arsenal, they need to tighten up and shut the game down, and become very defensive and pragmatic in attack. And it seems like he wants to go for the throat constantly. Grabbed him by his freaking throat. And
Carragher got away with a bit, you know, like Twitter, where you chuck stuff out there, and then then afterwards, in hindsight, you put out another tweet, and you get away with it. During the commentary, Carragher was talking about when it was 2-0 against West Ham. He was talking about they need to think about goal difference here. If they can get the next goal, then they can really, because that's going to be important. That's essentially a point. He said that. And
that
then after
that's bad call.
But then afterwards, you see a YouTube video, and it's got Carragher goes, "Arsenal were cocky. Arsenal got too cocky." Hang on, you got too cocky.
We're all guilty of that to some degree. Is like shifting how based on the result. But you shouldn't do that within 45 minutes. So I think obviously, despite spending the money that they have, the squad isn't nearly as big or has the depth of Man City, and a lot has been asked of those Arsenal players, the amount of minutes they've played this season. There's a World Cup in the middle of it. They just haven't been able to rotate in the same way that City have, and they only have one Jesus. City have Alvarez and Haaland, so all the advantages.
So it is
a case of they do look a little bit leggy, certainly in the second half. Now, you saw against West Ham and Liverpool especially. I know that there was a lot of talk about how it was a point gained at Liverpool. I think it was merely because they were playing Liverpool that they think that way. But if you just look at the performance in its own, they became very leggy in that second half. And then you'd think it might have been a one-off, but it happened again at West Ham as well. So you think like there's a lot of minutes in those legs, and you couldn't blame them for falling away, and they shouldn't be criticised for it, but they will be.
Yeah.
Should they not win the league, they definitely will be. But that's football, isn't it?
Yeah. I know it sounds obvious, they just have. You need a nice, calming performance against Southampton. It's time and again they've done that. Gary Neville's been bang on with this. He got this so spot on. And it is so true. You get to that last 10 games of the season and it is just different. It just, you're just feeling it and feeling it. And one thing, like I put it in my video at the start of the week, the one spin I would say for Arsenal is that the way they play can be without thought. And I mean, that's a positive, because they are so sort of fluent in the way the team's set up.
It does feel like an instinctual, everything they do is it's muscle memory. They've been drilled into them.
And the best teams do that, right?
Yeah.
I think the learning could be that, like, next time they get 2-0 up, another team, say, like, look, QPR, we're not playing football and we're just petrified, right? Whereas Arsenal, I think if you said to them, right, next 10 minutes, we just want you to keep the ball, I think they could do that quite comfortably.
Yeah.
So I think my head says their game management will really kind of go up a notch now. But my gut feels, maybe I'm getting caught in it all, is I've got a bad feeling about that Southampton game for him. But time
so I saw a pattern certainly a circumstance that was almost identical to last season, and that they had a game in hand and they went 8 points clear. So they won their game in hand and went 8 points clear. No, sorry, my bad. Man City had a game in hand. They had to play Arsenal, and Arsenal went 8 points clear. We had the exact same situation with Spurs last year, and this is how I know it, because it was Tottenham were involved. We had a game in hand on them. We had to play them at home, and they had a 3-point and had an 8-point lead. So it's essentially meant that if they had to lose one other game, and they did it, and we finished above them. They went to Newcastle, lost. We beat them at home. We won our game in hand against Burnley, and we finished in top four. It's the identical situation with Man City, albeit with more games left. So it's just that the question mark at Arteta will be under pressure. Can these players still perform?
And that will, and like, once it's twice, it's legit, isn't it? If you do it twice, it's legit.
Well, it's legit, but it's also what you expect from young, really young players. It's like they don't have the...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Mentality at this stage, because they haven't been through it, and it's not, you shouldn't expect that from them, especially if you've got a whole group of them. That you know, it's not, it's understandable should they not do it, but they won't get that leeway pretty much. Like, I mean, they got it from Gary Neville. He was saying, you know, second is great, and Roy Keane was going, yeah, but not from where they, the position they were in. Second isn't great. Second's losing, but Gary Neville was saying, well, they should be happy with that. Well, no, they shouldn't be happy with that because this is their opportunity. If they don't do it this year, next season's going to be more difficult, you'd imagine.
Yeah.
So they shouldn't be happy with that. But
I think, I get it. I think it can be, I think this is why we always have this discussion, is it both, isn't it? Like when you get to that opportunity, like, God, what, like, how heartbreaking is that? But I saw a really good stat where it's like in the last 5 years, the closest Arsenal have got to the top of the league at the end of the season has been 24 points.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So, like, in terms of progression, it's huge. The problem is
massive.
People think it's like now or never. Maybe it is because you sort of cycles change. We've seen that with other teams.
They're at the start of this cycle, right? They're Arsenal at the start of this cycle. So, they're definitely, should they keep Arteta, they're definitely going to be in the top four and you'd imagine in the title challenge for the next, at least the next two, next season, and maybe one after that if they continue to be able to bring in players.
What do you think about this, Flav? I've been thinking about this a bit. Do you remember last year, there was a sort of underlining of the idea that Klopp was better than Pep for what he'd done? Like when you talk about like season management, and I feel like I've seen this a bit. I've sort of been thinking about this for the whole season because I swear there'll be some players that disappear for a couple of months around sort of November, December, January. And you'll have a couple of players kind of come in, Rico Lewis, for example. And they'll kind of get some minutes and you go, oh, okay, well, is this the new Man City kind of thing? And it won't feel totally great, but it's sort of hanging in there. And then sort of those players start to come back and every single season, they just start to absolutely kill it from February onwards.
Yeah.
And that sort of that alongside the sort of the latest evolution of Man City, you had it on the Ripple Effect this week where we were talking, Emil was saying, he's a Newcastle fan, he was saying how Man City will always be up there and then it will be someone else. And I was like, I'm not sure I believe that. I think Pep is.
Yeah.
Again, maybe it's recency bias then and recency bias now, but recency bias then was that Klopp had just absolutely killed it with the squad and the amount of money that he'd spent was so much less.
Yeah.
Obviously some big players within that. And we were kind of going, you know, got to give it to Klopp here. But a year on with how Liverpool struggled this year, this somewhat top line, and I might be wrong here again, like inability to fix it this season.
Yeah.
And I know they've just won 6-1. And I, you know, and they could go on a
really No, but you don't have to caveat that. It's been a bad season for them.
Yeah. And Pep's ability to, even when they're not totally playing well all the time, still kind of reimagine football a little bit. Like, is it one where we feel like Man City will be dominant forever? When Pep goes, they're going to have a real problem.
Yes, they are, because he's an institution. And then any manager coming in will not be able to recreate what he's
created. And he's a visionary, though. I think he's clearly... Because I remember chatting with Kai for ages going, this doesn't work. Man City's not working here. Where's the pace in this team? Like, I can't see how it's working. And then just gently, it sort of locks into gear. And they're like, they look so unstoppable.
It's not the first time it's happened. It consistently happens. And that's the thing. It's deliberate.
But it's different, mate. Like the way they play is different each time.
Yeah. It just completely changes things. And then his willingness to get rid of players and freshen things up. It's what Alex Ferguson was so good at, you know. But the fact that I don't think Man City, Man United, and this is obviously time, your memory affects these things. But I don't remember Man United being as imperious so often towards the end of the season, where they just go on this steamrolling effect on the Premier League and just swat away teams like they're not even there. You know how difficult it is to win games in the Premier League? Just one game is difficult enough most of the time. It's so competitive. And at the moment, and this is what's so fascinating about this game, Arsenal game, is like, what is going to happen? How will Arsenal cope? And will Man City maintain it? It is absolutely fascinating. And
what does your gut say about that game?
My guts, inevitably I'm going into every one of these games now quite nervous, because I don't want Arsenal to win the league and it'll be bad for me, right? But at this moment, and I'm pretty much supporting Man City like I support Spurs, like every goal that goes in I cheer, just because it could prevent misery, right?
Sure.
So even with all that, can't see anything else than the Man City beating Arsenal relatively convincingly. And by that, I mean 3-1,
right.
Something like that, 4-1. I just think it all depends on Saliba. So Saliba's out of the squad against Southampton. He is crucial. And you forget that. In these two games, they haven't had him. And he's one of not, if the best centre-backs this season.
Well, yeah, there was a bit of a debate with online. Joe Tomlinson said that he put Gabriel in his like team of the season. And
the other player,
yeah,
the other centre back,
yeah. And Statman Dave was like, went after him, and I agree. I was like, Saliba's like Gabriel's been fantastic, and I think he's far more potent in the opposition's box, but Saliba. sexy football chat.
Sexy chat. There's nothing better than a good old sexual innuendo when you talk about football.
When they come face to face.
Right, that's too much, James. Too much. Saliba's better. Yeah, Saliba's more crucial, and that's the thing, is that they've like his emergence, and this is something that Arsenal fans have been calling for.
Emergence.
This is something that Arsenal fans have been calling for years, since they kept loaning him out, and for good reason, because he's come back a monster.
Yeah,
he's learned his trade in outside of the goldfish bowl that is Arsenal and the Premier League, just allowed to just develop in France. It was a masterstroke, really. Now he's come back absolutely, you know, like I said, one of the best defenders in the league. So to then not have him now, if they can't get him fit. Look, he needs to be 100% fit. Not like, and it's not surprising that he's been left out against Southampton, but he needs to be 100% fit to face Haaland and Alvarez. And Grealish, I mean, fuck, like, it doesn't even matter. Like, if they're on their pomp, you can't stop them.
You would fear for holding up against those guys.
Yeah. What a head of hair, though. What an advertisement for hair transplants.
And as I said, if anyone can, I said this on the mailbag this week, is there a centre-back partnership where both players have had hair transplants? If there's been another one, let me know.
I was completely unaware of Gabriel's hair transplant. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, there's pictures. He's posting it
really?
And all that. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I wonder if, is there a hair transplant 11? I think we've got a few, you get Rooney in there.
Conte manager, yeah.
Or you probably need him as a player.
I think there's just something wrong with Rooney's DNA, because nothing quite works for him. He's just a bit like his hair transplant didn't go to plan. Didn't work as well as Rob Holding's.
Yeah.
He's quite squat.
He's been very unfortunate.
Yeah.
He was given the talent, wasn't he? He was given the talent, not the other.
And this is the thing. It's like people like Saliba and Loftus-Cheek, they were given everything. God gave him everything. It's not fair. Like, I get why Wayne Rooney is so good at football. Like, it's fair. There's a balance, right?
yeah.
There's no balance of Loftus-Cheek or...
Who do you think are your three
Luka
most...
Modric, another case in point.
Yeah, well played. Who are the three best-looking players? Here's a calm take for you.
Because I was talking to him on the way back. I was listening to BBC Five Live. Nedim Manua is so underrated in terms of his looks. He's gorgeous.
What, the QPR? He used to play for QPR.
Look at Nedim Manua closely, and if you can find it, find a picture with him. Nedim Manua. Fuck off.
Is he used to play for QPR and Man City?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he is.
Yeah. Find a picture with him with his top off as well. He is the Anthony Joshua of football punditry.
All right, I'll do it. Why don't you bring it up on the stream so everyone can see?
Go on.
You do a little search.
With pleasure.
Oh, yeah. I've got to say, Gazzaniga.
Yeah.
Spurs. He's good. He was a good looking chap. I'm not sure many women would turn. There are men. Many.
You see from the shoulders there.
Yeah, but there's one next to him. Is that? I can't tell. It's very small.
There you go. Look at that.
God, that is a.
Look at those abs.
He's a fine.
Yeah.
Fine looking torso.
Look, look how lucky this guy is.
God.
Get a little kiss from Nedim. What?
Bit of a leader as well. Didn't he try and fight Ibrahimovic once or something like that?
Yeah, he had a little bit. Just a good looking guy. Look at that. Just a great looking guy.
Yeah, but he's not in the top three.
Great.
He's not in top three though, is he?
What? Pundits, he's miles ahead. He's absolutely miles ahead. He's in great nick. I know he's fresh out of the game.
Are we talking about pundits then, or are we talking about players?
Oh, no, okay, either. I mean players as well. What, good looking? John Terry. Come on.
There's this thing. Who's he? He's managing. Who's he helping out with at the moment?
Leicester City.
Right. Yeah. There's a thing with. He's been introduced to the squad, and there's a picture of him, the bloke pointing. Like, I think it might be Shakespeare pointing, and he's going, married, married, single, married.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like. Babe, just between now and the end of the season, it's all right if you just don't come to the games anymore. Oh, no, but this is the running now. I'm really excited. I want to support you.
What?
Just fucking stay away.
What chat must John Terry have to bag so many married wives?
I think it's not just chat. You know, I told you you tried it on with, allegedly tried it on with a former girlfriend of mine years ago.
Really? What did you do about it?
I'll tell you on the mailbag. Remind me on the mailbag, I'll tell you. Because it's got to be behind. It's got to be behind the paywall. Because it is alleged. It's definitely alleged. But anyway, Nedim Manua is really good looking. So, enough of that football chat nonsense. Right. Joe, I'm not even going to bother with... we've been going through the different teams. What I will say is...
Yeah, I'm a bit bored with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Van der Sar won the vote. Jim Big Laugh Award. Got a couple of options here. Sean Levitt. We're talking about left backs and only rubbish players go left back.
Yeah.
This just made me laugh. I was left back because I had no 360 degree awareness.
I'm with you, brother.
But if I'm lost
on a football pitch.
Right. But if I only had my right side to worry about, I was dynamite. So I was also prohibited from going past the halfway line as I didn't have the energy to get back. So I basically played in a corner of the pitch in the whole game.
I know my limitations.
Right? Yeah, I don't know why I found that funny. Finn Purton. I can't do this anymore. I went with a Wimbledon fan to watch them play Salford the other day. And after watching his team bottle a 2-1 win with goals in the 95th and 96th minute, a bloke from the Wimbledon end gave an anguished wail of, "What more do you want from us?" I can't feel that way. I'm like, I'm here
every game. What more do you want from us? Give me something back.
Yeah.
Poor bloke. Anyway, made me laugh. I'll go quickly through your running order because I do enjoy this. I think we should do this each week. Your quick running order was advantage City, Arteta to Madrid. Should he show loyalty? And will Chelsea ever be good? Good title, that. Will Chelsea ever be good? Do you know what's so annoying about how bad Chelsea are right now? Is that I've got nothing because we're so bad.
Well, I mean, are you genuinely going after Chelsea fans ever?
No, not really. But like to myself privately, I can I can enjoy it more. Like if we were doing well, like Brentford and Fulham fans would just be buzzing right now.
Do you know, James? I don't know how to articulate this because, I don't know why I feel like this. Mm. Right, Chelsea genuinely make me feel nothing at all. I don't feel anything about Chelsea at all.
Really?
Like when we're playing Chelsea, I'm never like nervous. Oh my God, Chelsea might beat us. It feels the same as getting beaten by West Ham or Aston Villa. Honestly, I don't know why, because this isn't reflective of most Spurs fans. A lot of Spurs fans hate Chelsea up there with Arsenal. They just make me feel nothing. I don't know why. They never have.
Do you remember when we did that thing on Bull Street where you had to go up against Beppe from East End?
Oh my God. Yeah, what was that called?
I can't remember. It might have been you decide or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah, we had this darkened room and I was like to get Beppe from EastEnders as a Chelsea fan.
Yeah. So tough for you, isn't it? Just, everyone's got loads of ammunition.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, you, wherever you go, all they need to say is, you haven't won anything though, have you?
Yeah.
Look, all have. We've done it. Why can't you do it? And there's not much I can say to that. I mean, really.
We're always waiting. Any kind of debate, everyone's literally like waiting to show you. But what have you won?
So I prefaced all these debates and saying, let's just get this out of the way. I know we haven't won anything. Let's all accept and agree to this point, Spurs have not won anything, right? Get that. Now can we actually have a conversation that's worth having? I'm going up to the overlap on next Friday.
Oh yeah.
Which will be interesting. Yeah, it depends on what happens.
Yeah.
It depends on what happens in the Man City game.
So Tom Jordan, he's in the chat. Hi Tom. He shut this out there. Another little hand grenade. Can Bournemouth finish above Chelsea? Just throwing it out there. Only 6 points adrift.
I mean, Chelsea could go down.
They're not safe yet.
They're not safe. No one goes down on 39 points, okay, do they?
Well, West Ham went down on 42.
Did they? Okay.
The problem you've got is... I'm going to have to calm you down there. I can't... So one of Tottenham... So Nottingham Forest need to get... Nottingham Forest, Everton, all of them need to get past 39 points.
So they can do it.
I mean,
strange things happen.
Imagine if they went down.
Imagine it.
Oh, don't.
Imagine. Because they would be absolutely fucked. Financial fair play would absolutely run a rod straight up their arse.
Yeah. Todd Bowley's...
I don't know. He's mad. The geezer's mad.
It's not gone.
Have you seen... one of the things that you didn't read out from that, I saw this the other day on Twitter, and I haven't fact-checked it, so it could have been bollocks. It might have been photoshopped. But it's Frank Lampard's last 20 results. I think he's 1-1, drawn 2, and lost the rest.
That's not stat padding, but like that's...
Like,
it's Everton,
what is he doing there?
Everton manager, though.
Right, so what? It's okay, so you should get... James, what is he doing there? What is Frank Lampard doing there? And I know they played well for 60 minutes against Real Madrid, but they've got good players.
I'm just trying to find it now.
I don't know. Yeah,
it's not great.
It's not great. I don't know what he's doing there. And Todd Bowley's to blame. It's not Frank Lampard. Obviously, Frank Lampard's going to go back and try and, you know, it's why not? It's a great opportunity for him. But he's lost all, like Ollie says, he's lost all these games. He's gone to Real Madrid and they've not scored a single goal, knocked out.
Yeah.
They've played all right.
It's incredible how they can't score a goal. Absolutely incredible.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
And then by that, you should say, well, actually, this is They're getting in positions where these players should be hitting the back of the net and they're not. So that's not really on Lampard. And this is a problem for Potter as well. But
how bad is Mudryk, by the way? Poor lad. His head's gone.
He's not bad. He'll come back.
He'll go to Germany and do a Timo Werner. It'll be just fine. But mate, when he had a chance, and I was just like, that looked like a 12-year-old. His head is sort of brain. Yeah. The pressure of the price tag is up. It's melting him a bit.
He's gone from playing in the Ukrainian league to the Premier League. It's different. Completely different. It's practically a different sport.
Arsenal wanted him though. He's obviously not a bad footballer.
Obviously, he's not a bad. And you saw him what he did in what he has done in the Champions League already. It's not that. It's just the expectations there because Chelsea are not doing well, so they expect him to turn up. And it's not. It's probably unfair right now what we're seeing right now isn't reflective of how good of a player he potentially could be.
Yeah.
Maybe he isn't nowhere near good enough to be playing at this level. And that's the worry. This is the problem with Todd Bowley's system of signing these players on long contracts, is that you're gambling on the fact that they're going to be worth the length of the contract.
You said this. You said this ages ago.
It's such a gamble.
Great point here. George Frith. If they get relegated, does he get the job? Lampard. He's shown he's a decent championship manager. That's a good shout. Bloody good shout. Maybe that's what he's doing. Clever. Maybe Jody Morris has got something on Lamps and he's gone, you owe me, mate. You bloody owe me.
But this is the thing that Tom Jordan's just said, how bad is Cucurella, by the way? He's not bad. He's a very good fucking footballer.
Yeah.
What is happening there?
But he is also... Do you know what I thought was interesting is the fact that... So the Cucurella, the screenshot of him pressing the centre-back and everyone going, what are you doing? Haven't we come a long way as football fans? That understanding of the press and that is like, surely his triggers Carvajal, not the centre-back. Now, look, I think he does make a mistake there, but maybe he's been over-exuberant trying to get back in the game. I don't know. But it's amazing that like the world understands a press now. That's good. But yeah, he's awful at the moment. Like, he can be so much better, but it's confidence comes down to it in a huge way. But how many games has Lampard got to lose? He's lost 4 in 10 days. How many games has he got to lose to get sacked before the season ends?
He should be sacked now.
He's got to go, has he?
Yeah. What's the point? What was the point in employing him?
Yeah. See, Todd Bowley went in the dressing room as well.
Imagine that as a player, and he comes wobbling in, and you're thinking, "What are you gonna say? All you do, you do your job, which is pay my wages. Don't start talking to me about fucking football. You don't have a clue what you're fucking talking about. Pay my wages."
What do you think he did when he came in? He just came in and like it all sort of went quiet.
Right,
and he just screamed at them. Fix this.
If Potter couldn't get through to a man who's learned in the sport, then this super rich American owner isn't going to be able to get through to him. And that's what some of the commentators said. Oh well, the Chelsea are playing well, and Todd Bowley did give him that talk. Chelsea have been playing well and not been able to score most of the season.
Correct. Although I don't think they played with that kind of intensity, but that was the whole tactic behind Conor Gallagher, et cetera, et cetera.
But something similar against Liverpool. Something very similar against Liverpool, certainly in the first half. Really got at Liverpool. And then how are they going to deal with the fact that Thiago Silva is going to be gone? Like, how long is he going to be able to play on for? He's like 30, how old is he, 42?
He's a fine wine though, isn't he?
He's incredible. Koulibaly, I've spent a lot of money on Koulibaly. He's going to be, has to be their centre back the next couple of years. Is he good enough at this level now? Is he aging quickly? Paid a lot of money, big contracts. Again, another issue. What is that, Jim?
Well, so we finish off with, because there's been a lot of football chat. A lot of football chat this time. But is this that time of the season? Yeah, Freddie's back.
I can't think
I'm pretty
about
sure we gave
without...
you a 1-week ban, Freddie. But he has got another story. So I've got two. One's quite long, but it is good. And I'm intrigued.
I've got a meeting in 9 minutes, so.
Okay, here we go. First one, Freddie. So this is, he's calling it. So we're going to call, we want to read out your stories. They need to be almost unbelievable and we'll decide if they're true or not. And this is now a sponsored bit brought to you by Freddie Molyneux after the last couple of weeks. Right.
Brought to you by Freddie Molyneux. And here is Freddie Molyneux's story.
Yeah. Right, I've got one final calling it story. Going for the hat trick, then bowing out. The tale starts with a friend walking home from school. A half an hour trip. Crossing through a local park. This poor guy suffers from IBS, and midway home, he gets the all-too-familiar grumbling of the stomach. He knows better than to fight against himself. Oh, sorry, very quick Samism. I was at a wedding on Friday. Saturday morning, Dom arrives late for breakfast, and he sits down, and the woman comes over and takes his order quickly. And he goes, oh, I'll get the full English breakfast. And he went, oh, can I get a tea as well? And she went, I'm sure we can curl one out for you. No, sorry, I got that wrong. Fuck, I got it wrong. He went, I'm sure I can squeeze one out for you. And we were just went,
curl one. Ooh. Curl would have been worse.
Yeah, curl's worse. That was it. I'm sure we can squeeze one out for you. What I'm really thinking about, and I know I've said this a million times, but I love it. It was in the showbiz of the newspaper, and Cheryl Cole had got a new boyfriend, some dancer guy, and Will.i.am had been trying to get Will.i.am has been with her on loads of press things for ages, and you could tell he kind of wanted to. And in the article it said, Cheryl Cole's got a new boyfriend. This will be much to the dismay of Will.i.am, who's been trying to curl one in for 6 months.
Curl one in. That's good.
So good, isn't it? We've all got a mate who's like, you're on the night out and there's a group of girls there as well, and he's clearly in the friend zone, but he's just desperate to curl one in somehow.
Yeah.
Love it.
Curl one in. Top bin.
Top bins. Anyway, speaking of curl one out. Poor guy's got IBS, all too familiar grumbling and stomach. He knows better than to fight against himself. He's been down that road too many times before. So he heads straight to the park and finds a small bit of woodland to do his business. I'll spare the details, but we can all imagine what comes next. Performing a naturally bodily function in the most natural of surroundings. As he finishes using a leaf to wipe, a massive Alsatian comes ambling over, starts sniffing around. Shoo, shoo, get out of here, he says, as the dog gets closer to the freshly laid stall. There's something rustling in the trees, and a woman walks through the clearing. She immediately spots the dump and looks my friend up and down. Oh, I'm sorry about Russell, she says, and proceeds to get out a dog poo bag and pick up the steaming pile.
Fucking hell.
He didn't have the heart or inclination to tell her she was handling human excrement, so he let her scoop it up and get on with her day. Do you just leave it? Yeah.
No, of course you leave it. You don't go, oh, that's mine. Yeah. You just leave it and move on. Like, as disgusting as it is, he did the right thing, because he's going to be like, oh my God, it's going to freak her out. Am I calling it?
You calling it?
No. Yeah, it seems unbelievable, but
I'm calling it a bit.
It's way too big.
I'm not sure.
Have you seen a human poo in the wild? It's mad.
A human poo in the wild. Poos in the wild. New worst bit. The worst bit we've ever done. Poos in the wild. Let us know when you've had to have a dump in the wild. Anyway. Right. Okay, this is long, but it's good. Right. This is a guy called Jack. I won't say his surname. Okay. I'm calling out. Sorry, this is emailed to me, by the way. Just set the scene. The story starts in 2019, not long before COVID, where myself and three fellow slugs embarked on our first football holiday to Germany, where we were to spend 5 days in Germany attending Dortmund versus Leipzig and Schalke versus Frankfurt on day 4. Something I'm sure you can imagine we're all extremely excited for. At this point, it's worth mentioning my girlfriend was working away at the time. She was a professional dancer on cruise ships. Ooh! Yeah, you'll right. note... Yeah.
Okay, right. Say she's working away.
Yeah.
Don't have to say that. You go out with a dancer, say what?
Yeah. He's a little flex, isn't it?
By the way, she's so flexible.
What is she got? Is she a sort of good nick? Is she, you know, is she a good looker? Well, let me say this.
I've got a really fit girlfriend, guys.
Calling it. You will notice I've used was. Unfortunately, despite never discussing it openly, I'm certain the tale I'm about to tell you is the reason she most likely decides to randomly up sticks and give up her dream career that she'd worked for since she was 3 years old to achieve.
Is he bitter?
Jack, you're right. So let me take you back to day two of the holiday, Dortmund versus Leipzig at the Signal Iduna Park. For me, at least, number one on the bucket list of European stadiums. I woke up that morning full of hope and optimism for what the day had in store for me, oblivious to the fact that in actual fact the day would turn out to be something from the depths of hell, something that has almost 4 years later still left a hypothetical scar on me that only Carlos Tevez and Frank Ribery could sympathise with. The day started well. Food, beers and a trip to the club shop to pick up our yellow shirts with pride before a quick shower at the hotel, a change into our new shirts and a walk to the Signal Iduna to take in the atmosphere. The game was everything I had hoped for it would be. A 3-3 slobber knocker, whatever that means, including a second half Werner brace and a finish from Julian Brandt that defied logic. I could not have asked for more as we reminisced on our walk home about the spectacle we had just seen. I made sure I lived up to the promise and I had made to my girlfriend's brother, another fellow slug. And once we got back to the hotel, I sent him several photos and videos of the famous yellow wall into the family chat on WhatsApp. Girlfriend's brother, family chat on WhatsApp. Unfortunately for little Jack, this is where the story takes a horrifying turn of events. One that could only be replicated by Leeds United this weekend by taking a 1-0 lead into the break against Palace and just to lose 5-1. Well, the 1-0 into the break for Jack was sending those photos into the family group once back in the hotel. A further reminisce as a group, we split off into our separate rooms and called it a night after a high on the adrenaline of our love for the beautiful game. Struggling to sleep and with an excitement I had not experienced for some time coursing through my veins, I pulled out my phone and made a decision that haunts me to this day 4 years on. I bring this back to why I shared the fact my girlfriend was away. I'm sure you, Flav, and my fellow slugs can appreciate. When navigating a long-distance relationship, there are only certain ways in which you can keep things exciting. If you're catching your mind.
Oh, no.
If you're catching my drift.
Yes.
For anyone who isn't catching my drift, it involves participating in a slug pastime. And if that doesn't clear things up for you, I had a cheeky nosh off, filmed it, and sent it on to my girlfriend. Not on Fleet Services, by the way. Or so I thought.
Sorry, what? He had a nosh, sent it to his girlfriend.
He previously had a cheeky nosh from his girlfriend. And then he said, that he'd filmed it. And he sent it to my girlfriend, or so I thought, with the aim of pleasing her when she woke up in the morning.
She's going to love that. Do you remember that time you shut my dick? Yeah, here's a video of it.
Yeah. You're loving that, aren't you? Yeah, that's right. I'm not sure that makes sense. Yeah. Anyway, keeping her mind fixated on the philosophical stake she had at home. Beaming with pride and having released some excess adrenaline from the earlier evening antics, I settled down into bed. However, it was not long before I noticed my phone light up.
Oh, God.
At first, I ignored it, assuming it was one of the lads in the group chat who had missed the trip. However, when my phone proceeded to flash at a similar rate that Jordan Ayew, despite being washed in James's view and co-netted at Elland Road in the second half, I had a feeling something was wrong. Squinting into the darkness, I could barely make out the messages. What I could see was that there was one from the family chat I previously mentioned. To add context to the family chat, it consists of myself, my girlfriend, her mum, her stepdad, her brother, and my sister-in-law. I pulled up the chat, excited to see the jealousy from her brother following the photos I had sent from the game earlier. However, the emotion was not jealousy. In fact, it was probably a hint of confidence that aired in his messages, alongside severe shock that his partner and his own mother had opened their phones to an actual slug. Panic filled my body in the same way the adrenaline had entered my body earlier. I tried to remove it, but the famous WhatsApp blue ticks greeted my eyes. The damage had been done. I had not, I had not sent the video to my girlfriend. I sent it to the family chat, and in that moment, I genuinely thought my life was over. A difficult night followed. Some will say I am lucky that my girlfriend's family saw the funny side of it, but after hours of endless messages, no sleep, having to explain the story again to my not-so-sympathetic friends the morning after, and then having to take the backlash overnight from a girlfriend jealous who wanted the goods all to herself. The goods. I was a broken man. I tried to enjoy the remainder of the holiday, but the 0-0 game we watched, blah, 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 blah. Knowing I was going to have to go home and face my girlfriend's family only a few days later, it was Christmas Day. Now, spending Christmas Day at my mother-in-law's for most is daunting enough. But having to do this without my girlfriend, with all her family there, with only 3 days prior, had been scarred from my actions, was becoming an unbearable thought. When Christmas Day finally came around, the long walk to the front door and the pathetic knock that preceded was rather symbolic of what had been seen only a few days earlier. I was greeted at the front door by her mum, a smile more forced than the angles I had attempted days earlier. In that moment, I knew I had to accept my fate. However, to my surprise, the day was successful. We had a laugh and enjoyed a great day without any mention of the group chat. Had I got away with it? Was everyone going to just let it go? Was I in for an easy ride? Unfortunately, the answer was no. After an unscathed day, we decided to do presents. I was confused throughout the day when we had not done any presents, but in my naive mind, I just assumed that this was how my girlfriend and her family structured their Christmas day, and who was I, of all people, to judge? I was in no position to give advice, given recent events. We opened several presents, and started to clear up the rough and play, and then the voice of, "Oh, Jackie boy," came from the living room. It was my girlfriend's brother with a stocking in hand. "We have some extra special for you," he said, and in that moment, I could see the evil in his eyes. He had forced every urge in his body to remain quiet all day to make me believe I was safe before bringing out my special gift. In the spirit of taking banter, I accepted my fate and proceeded to open, in front of my mother-in-law, penis pasta, a wind-up walking willy, a 15-inch penis lollipop, and the creme de la creme, a personalised canvas painting. Painting? Christ. I had hit rock bottom, and once the onslaught eventually tamed, I made my escape, not without my stocking in tow, which was under no circumstances allowed to be left at theirs. With my dignity barely intact, I arrived back at my parents. "Did you have a nice time? What did you get?" "I'm just desperate for a wee," I cried, proceeding to run up the stairs and throw my stocking into bed, contents of the sticking sprawling in the bed. After a quick 5-minute chat and the removal of said stocking from the story, I took myself to bed, looking to give myself any form of distraction that would make me forget about my day. However, the ordeal was not over. And in my clear loss of conscious mind from my Christmas from hell, I proceeded to drown my sorrows with a suck on the 15-inch lollipop. With the timing of only a prime Jamie Vardy would have been proud of when making a run in behind, my mum came into the room with a card from my grandma. Staring back at her was her son on his bed, sucking a penis lollipop with penis pasta in between his toes, and walking willy running circles around the bottom of the bed. She left my room with a scream. As quickly as she entered, I held my head in my hands in disbelief. Now I can't remember exactly what I said, but I'm certain it resembled something along the lines of, "I can't do this anymore." I'm still yet to discuss the Christmas evening with my mum. I'm sure she has a million questions. However, I live happily in the knowledge that whatever she thinks is the reason, it will not be actually what happened. And that's amazing. It, really. Well done, Jack. Great work. It was long, but it was solid.
It was worth it. Yeah, it was good.
That's what she said.
Right. I'm 5 minutes late for my meeting, but that's good.
Sorry.
That's good. No, it's fine, because that was well worth hearing. It's fantastic.
Right, guys. Enjoy your weekend. We'll speak to you next week. Become a patron.
He'd wound up the walking penis and just had it walking around.
Amazing. Lots of love. Thanks for watching. Right. Bye.
Ta-da.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.